الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي بنعمه تتم الصالحات، الحمد لله الذي قدر كل ما هو آت وكل ما هو فات. نسأله عز وجل موجبات رحمته، نسأله الفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. I bear witness there's no deity save Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger and his mercy to all mankind. We pray to him to shower his mercy and his blessings upon all the prophets and upon Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to all of us. We praise Allah to have given us the opportunity to experience the best month of the year, and if we are fortunate, tonight will be the best night of the life. So we pray and we hope, inshallah, that will be granted the blessing of the month of Ramadan and the blessing of the last Friday and the blessing of the night of power. Dear brothers and sisters, throughout the month, our khatibs, speakers, people who reflect, scholars, they have reminded us what this month is all about. Month of fasting and the Quran and feeling with the needy and prayers, and it's the bond with one another. It is a loaded month. However, there is one thing that we should exit the month with, that it is the essence of the month of Ramadan, which is at-taqwa. We have been listening to the verse all our life that is commanding us to fast in chapter 2, verse 183. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, or you have attained to faith, and the verse, you know it, and the verse finishes with what? La'allakum tattaqoon. Lam is the illah, here is the purpose. So the purpose of fasting, so we will reach the deep consciousness of God Almighty. And I will elaborate, my khutbah will be about at-taqwa, I will elaborate on that shortly. Few verses later on, after Allah talked about the Ramadan and the Quran and so on, and then you will find this re-emphasis, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ, verse 187. So they may attain to a deep consciousness of God. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the thing that, oh, the Prophet of Allah, I can take it to heart, admonish me. It was narrated by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. The Prophet said, أُوصِيكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّهُ رَأْسُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. I admonish you to seek God consciousness, at-taqwa, because it is the head of everything. And this is very interesting. The head of everything, it means, the head usually is symbol of what? Guiding the actions. So the Prophet is telling him it is the guiding of everything that you do. When we look at the Quran, we find there are a plethora of verses talking about the taqwa. But what is interesting, that whether you find the Quran talks about rearing and providing for children and talks about the taqwa. Talking about the divorce, talking about the taqwa. Talking about justice and just retribution, talking about the taqwa. Talking about business, about the taqwa. Talking about hajj, about taqwa. And so on and so forth. So the Prophet ﷺ here is summarizing that everything that we do in life, without any exception, it requires at-taqwa. So I think the point is clear how important the taqwa is. And before I proceed, I wanted to really kind of talk a little bit about what is the taqwa. Because if you read different imams or different scholars or different sahabi, you will find a variation of definition of al-taqwa. So Yusuf Ali, for example, says, Sheikh Yusuf Ali says, it is to fear Allah. Sheikh Muhammad Asad says, it is to be conscious of Allah. And you hear Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, when he asked Ka'b al-Ahbar, oh, ya sahabi, what is at-taqwa? So he said, oh, the leader of the Muslims, of the believers, if you walk in a valley full of thorns, what do you do? He said, oh, I become vigilant, I watch carefully where I walk, and I watch my footsteps so I don't get harmed. He said, this is exactly what is at-taqwa. So as you can tell, if I am to put it all together, the taqwa, brothers and sisters, is a deep consciousness of God, but that's not enough. The Quran is talking about, and I think it presents it in a beautiful way. الَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ, and Allah is, right after that, He is defining, okay, so those one who are conscious, who are they? يَخْشُونَ اللَّهَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those one who are at awe of God. وَمِنَ السَّاعَةِ هُمْ يُشْفِقُونَ, and they tremble of the thought of the consequence of their actions, the day of judgment. So if we are to really lump them all together, it is, brother and sister, the deep consciousness of God, where you are recognizing who He is to us, the creator of everything, the one who gave us life and who will control our destiny in this life and the hereafter. When we think of Him that way, we realize who we are worshiping, who we are responding to. And then we also, when we think of Him, we think of the consequence of our actions. He wants us to do good, and He wants us to stay away from the evil and the wrong. He wants us to reach our potential, and He wants us to realize that this is not the life, that's not the end, but there is consequence of what we do. So when I think about God consciousness, as this verse indicated, at-taqwa, it is about all of this. So when I think about Allah, I am conscious of Allah, I am conscious of my responsibility in this life and in the hereafter. So all of these definitions, in my humble opinion, incorrect, but if you are to walk out today with one thing, remember, at-taqwa is God consciousness, and it is a package. I am called upon to do what's right, and not to do what's evil and what is wrong, and bear in mind of the hereafter. That is at-taqwa, brothers and sisters. And this is why Ka'b al-Ahbar said, to watch your footsteps, to be aware of your actions, to know what you're doing. So now I hope it is clearer to us when we talk about the taqwa, which is the essence of the month of Ramadan, we understand the weight of such a word that is needed, as the Prophet and the Quran reminded us, in every aspect of life. So, with now I think it's clear, or clearer. So the question is, how Ramadan comes in, and how Ramadan helps with this at-taqwa. Brothers and sisters, let us face it. There are few things that happen during the year, from last Ramadan to this Ramadan. Our self-control is weaker. Our willpower to do good is weaker. And our spiritual battery is on low. Some of us, alhamdulillah, they are blessed and they are able to keep that throughout the year, and God bless, and I hope we'll become like them. But the majority of us, this is a reality. And this erosion that takes place to our self-control and our willpower and spirituality that gets weakened is due to many reasons. We forget temptations, satanic whispers, peer pressure, many reasons. They coalesce and they start chipping away from these important powers of our life. And while during the year we have the five prayers and we have Friday to Friday, and these are important stops, but God Almighty, who knows us better than ourselves, is telling us you need more than that. You need that month of Ramadan. And what happens in the month of Ramadan? Well, the one that we all know, which is fasting. And I'm not going to go into details of fasting because we all know the importance of fasting. But I wanted to marry two things together. What we have learned about fasting, which means, and the Prophet was very adamant, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَمْ يَنْمِ صِيَامِهِ لَجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ. It is a waste of those one. The only thing you get from your fasting is thirst and hunger. And we know in so many other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching that fasting is supposed to transform our character and our behavior morally and ethically to become a better people. That's the goal of fasting and the goal of the month of Ramadan. Our character to become more morally and ethically grounded in the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happened is, what I am recommending, there's another thing that we lose sight of when the Prophet ﷺ was teaching about what is the epitome of ibadah. أن تعبد الله, which is الإحسان, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. So the Prophet, when he was teaching the companions, when we say God consciousness, what does that mean? It's not just a word that we say, but it is a reality that a believer should experience. You feel God's presence. When Abdullah ibn Umar was doing a tawaf around the Kaaba, I love the story. And someone came to him to talk about a mundane thing about marriage. And Abdullah ibn Umar was disappointed. And he told him, أَفَمِثْلِ هَذَا وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَاءَ رَبَّنَا. This is the time that you are interrupting me and we are in the presence and looking at our Lord. He's not looking at Allah with his eyes, but looking at him with his heart. It is an exercise that you are continuously feeling God's presence throughout the day and throughout the week and throughout life. And this is what taqwa is all about. And تعبد الله كأنك تراه. Think about it. To worship Allah as if you are looking at Him. So in Ramadan, and we still have 4 days left, and I hope, because taqwa is going to go beyond Ramadan. It's not going to be only in Ramadan. It's been rejuvenated, strengthened in Ramadan, but it is beyond Ramadan. As you heard, every aspect of life. So when you are being antagonized, when you are being provoked, when you are being insulted, when you are being invited to cheat or to lie or to deceive or to do something wrong, you remember who you are worshipping, and He is before you. You are looking at Him as Abdullah ibn Umar taught, and as Abdullah Umar did, and as he learned from the Prophet. This is, in my humble opinion, brothers and sisters, what we should walk out of the month of Ramadan is, when we are fasting, or when we're doing the Quran, or all the acts of worship in the month of Ramadan, we need to feel God's presence. Because when we do that, what happens? Sometimes we are, somehow we feel that if I am worshipping Allah, if I am doing a prayer for Allah, if I'm doing the taqwa because of Allah, this is good for Allah. Astaghfirullah, Allah is in no need of any of thing that you and I can do or do. Allah wants us to be a better human being. So when we hold ourselves with the self-control that we develop in the month of Ramadan from cheating and lying and doing all the wrong things, I am a better person. When I strengthen my willpower to do the right thing and to be generous and to give and to do good, I am a better person. And then when I charge, when God is present, I charge the spiritual battery, then definitely I am a much better human being. And that, brothers and sisters, what the taqwa is all about, and that what is Ramadan is all about. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is last Friday. I was reminded, please move forward. Just all of us, just get up a little bit and move forward. Any little spot, just keep on moving forward. I was reminded by our leaders that we need to accommodate more people. Alhamdulillah, it is the last Friday, and only God knows if we will have another opportunity like this. God bless you and thank you. Alhamdulillah. So, brothers and sisters, in my first khutbah, I wanted us to remember what this month is all about. It's about the taqwa. And I hope I was able to make the case by leaning of the teachings of our faith. How do we garner, strengthen, reach the level of taqwa that can save us, make us better, and open, as the Quran reminded us, in Allah taqabbalu min al-muttaqin, that Allah accepts from those one who are God conscious, who are deeply conscious of Him. In other words, is guided by Him. And as I have done for the previous years, I always like to dedicate in the last Friday of Ramadan about this very institution that we all come to. And we, although we use it during the year, but the month of Ramadan, it opens its heart and its doors to us on a daily. And I would be remiss if I don't start by acknowledging and thanking our staff, the administration, with all the people who work tirelessly, from our imams to our leaders throughout the month. In normal job, you take time off. In the month of Ramadan, they don't. And I'd be remiss if I don't also extend our appreciation to all the board, the chair and the board members, and the volunteers and the head of committees of great work they have done in making sure that this place not only is open for us, not only help us to do what we heard, but also that we are secure. We feel comfortable, we feel at ease when we come in through the doors. And God bless the staff, bless the board, bless our leaders, the committees, and all those one who are making sure that we come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some of it we might know, but I think a dhikr tanfa' al-mu'min, a reminder always good for a believer. As someone once told me, what is the big deal? This is only a place that I come and pray. And unfortunately, I don't think he understood what this place means to me and means to all of us. Brothers and sisters, I have been attending this place for 40 years. And you've seen me for 40 years. Of course, I was better looking with black hair and, thinner. But I've seen you and you've seen me and we've met and we all came here for one purpose, is to treat our spirituality, to treat our soul. And I am sure you agree with me that this institution has provided for us leaders of a kind who helped us to forge and to crystallize what Muslim ought to be, what Islam should be in our life. And I have to be honest with you, I come from Lebanon, and my idea of Islam was different. But when I came, I learned that Islam is the Islam of love, the Islam of compassion, the Islam of mercy, the Islam of freedom, the Islam of human rights, the Islam of justice, the Islam of beauty, the Islam of excellence. I honestly didn't see the spectrum of Islam the way I learned it in this very institution. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have a center that it is continuously teaching this Islam. In my humble opinion, this is Islam. Also, so when we say the Islamic identity, this is what we mean. Because some people question sometimes, what do you mean by the American Muslim identity? Today, I'm going to go over it quickly. When we talk about the Muslim aspect, this is the Muslim aspect. I learned that Islam is the Islam of inclusion. Whether I'm a male or female, whether I am white or black, whether I'm old or young, whether I am an Arab or non-Arab, it doesn't matter. Whether I was born a Muslim or I'm convert, the moment I walk through the door, we are all sawasiya. We are all equal in ability and readiness to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any of you can be a chairperson. We had a woman chairperson for 2 years. Any of you can be a chairperson. Any of you can serve on the board. Any of you can be part of the decision-making process. Irrespect of your background. Irrespect of your sect. This is the institution, brother and sister, and this is the Islam that has shaped a lot of us. While our identity is shaped with the mind and the heart and the soul, but also faith into action. How many of you know about the food pantry? And the food pantry, it used to feed 50 people, now more than 300 families on a weekly basis. That's your institution. Saturdays, our young men and women go to the Skid Row and prepare packages with the Ilm Foundation and make sure that homeless is touched. This is your institution. So I don't want to go an inventory of what this institution does, but when we say Islam or Muslims, this is what it means. Islam is the religion of beauty and all that comes with it, and Islam of action, caring for others. So let me touch a little bit about when we say American, what this institution taught me and all of us. I come from a country where the government doesn't do anything. It's so corrupt. And I'm sure a lot of us who are immigrants, unfortunately, you know what I'm talking about. So to me, as when I came over here, I didn't realize what is my responsibility toward the government, because I always felt distance between me and the government, because this is where I came from. Then I learned, no, I'm paying taxes. I am paying those agencies, whether it's law enforcement, whether it is state governments. So then I start learning from this institution my civic duty. It is my responsibility to know how my taxes are spent. It is my responsibility to realize that people that we hire, they are accountable to us and they are answerable to us. And we felt the best way is to engage them, to meet with them, let them know what we are struggling and what we don't agree with them and what we agree with them. And over 60 some years, brothers and sisters, with that approach, we develop a reputation, a respect, and credibility and trust. So how often are you going to see a mayor of the second largest city in the nation comes often to us? The mayor, Garcetti, spoke to all of you many, many times. How many centers you've heard that someone like Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders, when he wanted to meet Muslims, guess where he came? As you know, he came to the center. I just want you to really capture the size of the respect and the trust that we have beyond our community and beyond the Muslim community. How many of us recently, and again, I don't want to go a long list because it will be until the end of the day, but how many of us know that our chairman, with the help of IMPACT, was invited to the Congress to testify about the threat of the white nationalism? The Congress, our chairman. So my point, brothers and sisters, the center is not about Vermont Street and the boundary of Vermont Street. The center has been able to sell and introduce and engage the large society what Islam is all about, and for them to realize that we Muslims are here to stay. This is our country, and we care about our government, and we care about the agencies and those one who are responsible and accountable to our taxes. So when we say you are an American Muslim, this is what it means. This is Islam that I shared with you, and this is the American aspect that I shared with you. So brothers and sisters, all of this emanate from this institution. So when someone tells me, and I don't think he knew our history, but when someone tells me you are only a place of worship, I don't think he understands what this institution is all about. But we do. We do. And we say Alhamdulillah. Why we say Alhamdulillah? Because it is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that created a space for us to live Islam the way it ought to live. To be able to contribute to the society the way we are contributing. This is, in my humble opinion, this is what this institution taught me, and this is my role as an American Muslim. So this is what this institution, with its staff, with its team of volunteers and army of volunteers do. The question that is before us, what your responsibility is. Just remember, brothers and sisters, Ramadan is when you are like running a lap. Today is, we are in our what? Last lap. Right? This is it. This is the last Friday. Last Friday. And only God knows, inshallah we will, but only God knows if we will have another honor and privilege and another opportunity to experience a time like this. Only God knows. Later on, we're going to do a janaza of someone who passed in Ramadan. And how many we know passed before Ramadan? We don't know. So seize the opportunity, brothers and sisters. And what is asked of you today, to give generously, to make a difference, to really show the staff and the volunteers and this institution that you really appreciate what it has to offer us, because what it has to offer us is significant and tremendous, and we praise Allah for that. So, brothers and sisters, I've always been touched by this verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تحبون. You will not attain to righteousness, and no better opportunity to attain and to transcend and to up our game in God's presence than today and now, Friday last and Ramadan, by being generous. حتى تنفقوا from what? مما تحبون. So that means if I have a dollar in my wallet and I give it to you, this is not what مما تحبون. If I have $5 in my wallet and I give it to you, this is not مما تحبون. What mimma tuhibbun? That I give you something that is dear to me in my saving. This is what mimma tuhibbun is. And this is the measure. Faith is good. We were going around so many laps. This is it. Let's make the last lap count. And let us give to the point that we feel when we leave the door, we gave something to this institution that is giving us so much. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we give it from what is dear to our heart and what is dear to our pocket. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our faith, to purify our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate God consciousness in us, to make us among those one who are al-muttaqoon, to make us among those one who al-taqwa is with them throughout the day and throughout life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all our acts of worship do by the taqwa so Allah will accept. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those one who are dedicated to be the people of the taqwa. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are ready to translate their faith and the taqwa into actions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are generous. And Allah will reward us in this life and the hereafter manifold. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة